Hello and good afternoon, Xbox Nation. Welcome to this week's new episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL. And ladies and gentlemen, we have breaking news, pretty much what I had advertised originally, thanks to numerous sources. The case against the ABK merger, known as the Gamers Lawsuit, was denied an injunction by the federal judge. And we are now just learning from Reuters.com that, according to, pull this up here. Hold on, we've got breaking news. Microsoft defeats gamers' bid to block $69 billion Activision deal in U.S. courts. This is breaking news, folks, and this is, in fact, a very big deal because Microsoft had this hanging over, this litigation hanging over their head, even though we all knew it was complete BS. Well, I think the judge now realized that it was BS because it has officially been defeated and it cannot be refiled like the first time. So this is a done deal. There's no irreparable harm to the market. There's certainly no irreparable harm to, of course, SIE, PlayStation, who is the market leader, not only in the Americas, but pretty much around the world. But let's get into that. We also have Tom Henderson reporting that, guess what? Another feather out of Sony's cap, Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater remake, apparently is not a PlayStation 5 exclusive. It will be releasing on the PS5, the Xbox Series X and S, and on PC. And I think that kind of takes the wind out of Sony's sail potentially for this Thursday's event that they're having. Now, we also know, we have heard that Silent Hill, the remake, is also only a timed exclusive. Well, it turns out Metal Gear Solid is not even a timed exclusive. It'll be releasing across the board. But we'll see. And then what does that bode for Castlevania? Well, I'm assuming we'll find out this Thursday. But let's get into the introductions, folks. We got a lot to cover. So much news in only 90 minutes. So let's get to it. Web Day, first of all, congratulations. You hit 1K on Friday. You did it live on Breakfast at Boom. That was amazing. You followed up greatness with Sunday's show. You and Retri do what you guys do each and every Sunday. But you didn't have just one guest in the form of a Crispy Bomb, but you had two guests, because not only did Crispy show up and do what Crispy does best, but you had Hargeet Chani, the best smile in the business. In fact, I would dare say you had the best smile in the business and the best voice in podcasting in Crispy. Good morning, brother. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. It has been a good week, good weekend, and thanks to you for getting us over the edge. It was, man. It was your rally cry, and now we're like we have like a couple hundred buffer already. So I thank you for that, and it's a good feeling, and we're getting our view count up. It's probably do that in the next day or so, and then we'll be on our way. But man, it's it was a great weekend, and there's so many good things to talk about today, man. I'm looking forward to today's show. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I mean, literally, folks, there's so much news that broke over the weekend that I didn't even know where to start, to be quite honest with you. But we have a plan, and we're going to stick to it. First of all, Fuzzy Belvedere, what's going on, brother? I know you raced through traffic to get here on time. How you doing?
Not too bad. Glad to be here with you guys. Man, just a lot of good news this Monday morning, and hopefully we'll get something more this week as far as with the ABK stuff. I know we don't want to talk about that too much, but man, oh man, looking forward to the showcase Wednesday, even though, yeah, it's losing a little bit of its luster, but I'm pretty sure we'll get some surprises in there as well. But man, I'm getting geared up for June 11th as well. So that's the one I really want to see, but a lot to get into today. Let's do this.
Yeah, actually, I got to fix myself. I thought it was the 25th. No, the show is the 24th, and that is, in fact, on Wednesday. I believe it's going to be happening here on the East Coast at 4 p.m., if I'm not mistaken. I'll be checking that out. And then, obviously, on Breakfast with Boom, we will probably talk a little bit about it. But I think on Thursday, we will make it a topic of conversation, even though that's an Xbox show. Whoever my guest is going to be, we will talk about it and see how Microsoft now has over 3 weeks to respond. Maybe they add an extra, you know, thing in there that they might have held back, but because Sony either had a great show or had a medium show or maybe even a terrible show, I think Microsoft has the time, like Sony used to. If you remember how it used to go on Sundays, Microsoft always went first, and Sony was always able to react and do their show based on what Microsoft put out there. And a lot of the times Microsoft was had the less advantage. Now it turns out that Microsoft is locked in for their date. It's almost three weeks after Sony goes on this Wednesday, and now they're going to have an opportunity to respond in a big way. And you know, we heard Jez Corden on a Friday show with Randall Thor on the Xbox 2, and he made a comment, folks. He said Microsoft, or specifically Xbox, is kind of on the back foot. And he's not wrong. I'm not saying that they're going to slip and they're going to fall. I'm saying that after the Redfall situation, they were a bit on the back foot. Not so much for the ABK stuff, because obviously last week was a monster week for Xbox and Microsoft specifically. But it would be pretty awesome if Microsoft would just put a show together that not only shows what we should be, what to expect for the remainder of this year, next year, and then show us a little stuff from farther out, and literally just at every turn take Sony's page book right out of theirs and crush the competition. I'm hoping that's what in fact is going to be the case. But Crazy Lou Gaming, it's here, folks, and he wasn't stopped on the way home. Thank goodness for that. Crazy Lou, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing great, man. First of all, congrats to Mr. Web Day, man. So happy to hear that you finally hit that 1K. That is awesome, 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 awesome. Congrats, brother. Congrats to you.
Thank you,
sir. And, man, so much good news rolled in this weekend, man. Super happy to talk about it. Let's get this show on the road.
Yeah, so you know what? Let's pull up. Let's start with something small. I don't want to talk about the Metal Gear Solid situation. Now, obviously, for the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing Metal Gear Solid, right? We've been hearing about it. For me personally, and again, this is just me, I don't like the pick. I don't know why you start at 3 for a remake. Go figure. If I were in charge, I would be doing Metal Gear Solid 1. And I say that selfishly, folks, because as you know, if you've been following the channel, in my top 5 games of all time, in the history of my 40 plus years as a gamer, Metal Gear Solid's in the top 5 of all time. I think that it tells an incredible story. It really is an understandable story, unlike some of the later ones where, you know, Kojima, love him, but he gets wacky. And I really thought that if they were going to remake something, it should be that. But I suppose, and that was the way it was explained to me, it's like, well, wait a second, boom. Snake Eater, Metal Gear Solid 3, is technically a prequel to Metal Gear Solid 1. And they're correct in saying so. He did tell the story out of order. 2 is a direct follow-up to the original one on the PlayStation. And 3 is a more of a prequel. So I guess, but I think the ultimate big picture here, and it's one of those situations where I would have been in the camp too, folks. I said, hey, yeah, this has PlayStation all over it that they're going to lock it up as an exclusive. Well, apparently I have a post here from, where are you? Post. Oh my God. All right, I'll find it in a second. Tom Henderson actually posted this where, here it is, I got it in front of me. He posted this 5 hours ago from insidergaming.com, and he goes on to say, folks, Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater remake isn't a PlayStation exclusive. And the article, of course, was written by Tom Henderson. And the article says this, folks. Insider Gaming sources revealed that Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater remake will not be a PlayStation exclusive despite the rumors online. And goes on to say this, the Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater remake is arguably one of Konami's worst kept secrets, with it being understood that the announcement we made at the PlayStation showcase as a teaser, not a full gameplay trailer. The PlayStation showcase starts at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on May 24th. Insider gaming sources have revealed that Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater remake will release for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam, and is currently it's currently unclear if the PlayStation version has some form of exclusive rights with marketing or potential DLC. It goes on to say, rumors of the Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater remake have been circulating for years, but a report from VGC in October 2021 cemented its likelihood. So there you go, folks. Tom Henderson of InsiderGaming.com has confirmed that not only is it not a PlayStation 5 exclusive, it is coming to Xbox Series X, S, and Steam, and it's expected to get some sort of a trailer at their big show. I'm going to be honest with you, Web Dave. I kind of feel like this already takes the wind out of PlayStation's sail. Now, granted, I have no doubt, folks, that they're not going to have a potential Year of Dreams Part 2. I mean, Sony hasn't had an official show like this, you know, like an E3 level show in 2 years. It's been a while. Now, depending on who you ask, there are a lot of opinions on why that was. Were they trying to look weak in front of regulators, not to show tip their hand? Possibly, more than likely. Especially when they were going up against the ABK thing, saying that their business would be lost without Call of Duty, which we know is BS. Or was it because they didn't have anything to show? I mean, that's a possibility. We know that they have 12, well, at least now 9 games as a service in development. 3 have been recently canceled. Listen, games as a service is a hard business to get into. I mean, they have Destiny in Bungie, so they have a lot of help there. But Web Dave, going into this showcase, we know that we're not going to see God of War. We know we're not going to see a New Horizon, right? So you take those off the board. Last of Us Part 3, potentially, right? Maybe Naughty Dog's space game that they were supposedly working on. Obviously we're hearing that Factions is expected to be there. At least that's the rumor. That is potentially releasing this year. That's good for Sony, and especially multiplayer, because that's what they want to start making their money in. But now, Dave, we're kind of walking on thin ice here, because the big draw was Silent Hill 2 locked up. Right? That's going to be an exclusive. Turns out it's not. It's a year exclusive. Okay, so that's great. Now it turns out that Metal Gear Solid 3, originally slated as a full-on exclusive, not anymore. Castlevania, we don't know if it's going to be there, but I would imagine that if Snake Eater is not exclusive, Castlevania is probably not going to be exclusive either. Do you kind of feel this pulls the wind out of their sails a bit?
Yeah, I definitely think that, Well, at least as far as our anticipation, because we were thinking that this was one of their, linchpins, their gotcha moments, that the show was going to be, their exclusivity. It doesn't mean that they may still have like marketing rights, which they utilize marketing rights like no other. A lot of people thought that Hogwarts Legacy was an exclusive to PlayStation and was coming nowhere else. Even though they didn't have an exclusive window, it was just the marketing rights alone, and they used them to their advantage in the utmost. And that could be something that they do with this. I hope that he's right, and then that it's not an exclusive, or it's going to be everywhere, because to me it's a game that really needs to be everywhere. And I think that Konami, even though they've already done the marketing deal, for the 1 year exclusive for Silent Hill, I think, maybe they mix it up a bit. This other title, they make it to where it's everywhere. That's not to say that it may not be introduced at this, and it just, they may show it, coming soon or coming whenever to a PlayStation, and leave off the other formats that it's coming to, obviously, if it's their show. And then we just find out about that maybe in a couple of weeks later at the Microsoft show. That's all, that it's also coming there as well. So they wouldn't necessarily say exclusive, but the way it would be portrayed is that it's, because it's all about Sony and what's coming to their platform. So that's, like I said, they have a really good way of twisting things into their, to making it look the best for them. And, you know, let's, I mean, that's where they got where they're at today. You know, they're the market leader for a reason, and that is because they know how to do their business. The showcases are usually pretty good. You know, we haven't had any quote unquote big one for a while. You know, state of play type thing, but this is they're advertising as a showcase, you know, being on the on par, I guess, with you know, with showing a lot of stuff. And they say it's gonna be over an hour long, you know.
Yeah, about an hour. It's been discussed about an hour and 10. There's gonna be a portion of it that's dedicated to VR 2.0. So
yeah.
I would say maybe could be about 5 minutes.
That could be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Yeah, it could be something like that. And then, but you know, it could be, I'd say 15 to 20 minutes of Spider-Man 2. Hopefully for them, it has a release date this year. And if they do know it's coming out this year, they need to make sure everybody knows it and knows it's big, because it'll be their only first party AAA release. So that'll be important for them to have that. And I'm sure they're probably pulling out all the stops to make sure that happens. But, you know, they may have maybe a little before or maybe more advanced, not necessarily, you know, maybe some gameplay maybe of Wolverine. You know, I don't think they're going to have anywhere near a date for that ready. But, you know, you don't know until it happens. But I'm looking forward to it, because I have PlayStation 5. And to me, it's a matter of, they just need to make sure, and I'm sure they're going to be covering this, that they don't come off looking weak, that they don't come off looking like, you know, hell, this is all we got. You know, they really need to, and I believe they're going to lean heavily. I mean, there may be even a more of a pitch on the Final Fantasy, you know.
Third party is going to be a big part of it, Dave. I think we're going to see some third party stuff in there. It's not going to be all Sony first party. And again, we don't really know what they have up their sleeves, because they've been quiet for a couple of years. And Sony is good at that. Like, Sony is really good at keeping the close the cards close to the vest. So I'm excited as a PlayStation owner as well. I mean, I want to see me personally. There's a couple of things I don't think it's going to happen that I would love to see. I'd love to see the return of Motor Storm. Motor Storm, the first one, is one of my favorite racers of all time. I'd like to see Resistance, Fall of Man, get a remake from Insomniac. Who knows if that's going to happen. The first, I didn't care so much for Resistance 2 and 3 as much as I played through multiple times Resistance Fall of Man 1, which was a launch title for the PlayStation 3. It was phenomenal. I don't know. Yes, sir.
So what do you think about, you know, them maybe teasing or maybe giving some idea as to what the new Bungie title is going to be now that they own them?
I don't know, man. Early? Yeah, I think it is. I think right now Bungie's in a bit of a pickle. Destiny is not doing so great for them. And the last DLC was supposed to be like this second coming, and it turned out not to be. I don't play Destiny anymore, folks. I haven't played Destiny in 5 years. I put 1,000 hours into Destiny 1 and over 500 in Destiny 2, and somewhere I just lost the flavor of playing that game. I don't know, Dave. That's a good question. But needless to say, Dave, it is going to be an interesting show. And listen, I don't expect that it's not going to be something special. So
yeah, I agree with you. I think it is, you know. They have to. They know they're up against, you know, and they're going first before the Microsoft thing. I think they're trying to get in their licks, hits, you know, make a stand before the Microsoft show. They're like, boom, this is what we've got coming, and get ready, you know. And I'm sure they're going to have something tucked away for the Keighley show. I'm sure they're going to have something, you know, big tucked away for the end of the year for the award show. You know, they have things, you know, kind of planned out. So, but we'll see. Hopefully we get some good things. Hopefully it's a, you know, like I said, I'm a gamer on all platforms, so I want them to have a good show. I just know that Microsoft show needs to absolutely
crush it.
Blow
up. I say it.
It needs to be amazing.
They need, yeah, this is the one, and this is the one. If there's going to be a show, it needs to be as more, it needs to be as powerful as 2020's, where we got to see all these new IPs that were in development. We need to see in 2023's show the fruits of those labors. That's what we need to see for Microsoft's show. But, you know, real quick, Eric the Red, good friend of the program, says Ghost of Tsushima 2. They already confirmed that that's not going to be there. So that's scratched off. Edward Lafferty says rumors of a new Killzone. I would kind of like to see them return to Killzone with the power of the PlayStation. I mean, the stories weren't great. Maybe they reboot the series and we start from scratch would be kind of cool. I would like to see Resistance Fall of Man. Maybe Infamous. Maybe we get a remake or a retelling of Infamous, because I loved Infamous 1 and 2. Didn't care so much for the other one. I liked the original character, but more so than the character they brought back. It was a bit of a, like a skater kid. I didn't care too much for him. So, but we'll see. We will definitely see. Fuzzy Belvedere, let's get your hot take on this. So, again, we don't know for sure, but it is being reported that Metal Gear Solid 3, which is a great game, I beat it. I played it on the PlayStation. I quite enjoyed it. It is not an exclusive to PlayStation. And the fact that this is breaking now, right before their show, starts to make you wonder whether or not the Silent Hill, because again, there's some talk out there that it's only a year exclusive, but really, what does that mean? Because Sony could money had it further. And on Castlevania, expected to be announced, probably not going to be an exclusive either. What are your takes on this?
I think the weird thing is with the PlayStation Showcase being, but they haven't had a serious one in like 2 years, other than like the State of Plays and things like that. It should still shape up to be a decent one. Like I'm hearing that there's going to be a new IP, but that could be a range of things, whether it's Corey Barlog's game, or I know some people have said that Ben Studios' new IP might make an appearance. Some say that it may not because of, you know, the timing. I don't know how long they've been working on that, but there's some definitely potential surprises. But as a multi-console owner, I'm glad to hear, at least from the standpoint of for Metal Gear 3, it being, you know, probably multi-platform. Hopefully it's multi-platform at launch. I'm kind of tired of these one-year exclusive deals overall. But it would be nice to see it, you know, day and date as far as, on Series X and S and stuff like that. I was hoping for Silent Hill to be that same way, considering Bloober Team is the ones working on it. And they've worked so well with Xbox. Was hoping that would also be on Xbox the same time frame. But I guess I'll either wait or, you know, buy it on PC, or I'll figure something out on that one. But right now, I'm kind of looking over, like, what I expect to be there. And if Ghost of Tsushima 2 is not going to be there, well, then that kind of takes the wind out of my sails to some extent. Jim Ryan had already said that, you know, they're not going to do the whole PC day and date, which
I thought was just dumb. the folks, if you don't know, if you're not sure what Fuzzy's talking about, Jim Ryan double down on, and again, listen, there's a lot of ways to take this. First of all, I think Jim Ryan's a boob, straight up. After this whole BK stuff, the guy, I could deal with him before. He's a terrible speaker, but you know, he's not a gamer, he's a business guy. All right, that's fine. After the ABK shenanigans, I have lost complete respect for him. What he's talking about is Jim Ryan was interviewed and he doubled down on releasing games only for the PlayStation 5 first, as opposed to taking the, hey, we're going to release day and date on PC. And, you know, not their streaming service. I mean, like, straight up, hey, listen, you want to buy a game, PC, you can get it here, you can get it there. He said that, according to him, the PlayStation 5 game releases for PC are going to be stagnant or staggered, as opposed to them releasing first. So there's no specific time frame. Like, if you release Spider-Man 2 in September, when do you get it next? Do you get it first half of 24? Apparently not. He wants people to buy it on the PlayStation 5. So there you go.
Can I jump in real quick? And you can't.
Sure,
You can't believe him what he says though, because I mean, I'll be honest with you. That he's always changing. He's always changing the narrative to things. I mean, I remember when PS5 first came out, he said games will only be made for the PS5. Yet he had to change it because of the pandemic, and he had to bring them to PS4. And also, he said PS Vita will shut down, and he had to change it and reopen the PS Vita. And I think it was like last year, 2 years ago, that I forgot this guy's name. He came out and said, hey, PS5 games will come out a year later on PC. And now Jim Ryan comes out and is like, oh, we're going to wait 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to change that pretty soon. We'll see. We'll watch. Yeah. He's going to change it. I don't believe in what he says. Seriously, I don't.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's true. You really can't tell what Jimbo's thinking, because he does change his. Like I would imagine his opinions change like his socks. But yes, yeah, please continue, Fuzzy.
Well, I'm hoping that there's still some of the big third party titles that I'm kind of looking forward to. Like Pragmata was one that they showed at like their first showcase for the PS5.
Yes,
that's kind of gone silent. The game from Capcom has kind of like almost like a Kojima in space kind of feel to it. So kind of interested to see a little bit more about that one. But there's also Rise of the Ronin, which I know
that
got
looks really freaking good, dude. Yeah. Like that really looks good.
Yeah, like that. I almost wish Phil would have picked that one over Wolong to be in Game Pass. But, you know, I'm still going to wind up picking that one up. Rise of the Ronin is right up my alley, especially after, like, even though it's not Ghost of Tsushima. But, you know, that genre, the hack and slash type setup, if they can advance on, like, different weaponry and things along those lines, I'm all for that. And then there is the one that kind of quote tweeted the PlayStation Showcase, which was Project Awakening, which kind of has this like Final Fantasy, but with like knights in like knights versus dragons. So almost like deep down that old PS4 exclusive that never came into existence. So maybe this one, Project Awakening, will be like kind of that this generation's, not hopefully never coming to existence, but at least give that same like dungeon crawler, but from a third person's perspective, you know, knights versus dragons kind of feel. So
yeah,
looking forward to that one. But I'm still surprised there's no Astrobot, you know, PSVR 2, you know, go-to game to, you know, stand out for the PSVR. I mean, I know Gran Turismo is like that, the game to show off the purpose of the PSVR 2 to some extent. Some will say the Rise of the Mountain for Horizon, and not really for mountain climbing as much, but kind of surprised that there's no Astrobot game. But yeah, still looking forward to the showcase. But I really wish there were real PlayStation insiders out there to at least, you know, either if they're going to taper
it's
expectations,
trolls,
or
trolls disguised as human beings, and even then, it's questionable.
Yeah, but I'm hoping the showcase at least has some of these surprises that I'm thinking, you know, make an appearance. Because Rise of the Ronin, definitely looking forward to. That's a, you know, day one buy.
Oh yeah,
for me too. Want to kind of see factions, because it's been a long time coming, and it's one of the few games that my kids will actually play on PlayStation. So I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that they show that, and then maybe Corey Barlog's sci-fi game. Or rumored sci-fi game makes an appearance, so we'll see. But can't wait until Wednesday.
Yeah, no, me too. I'm looking forward to it. Real quick, shout out to Justy Spud and Scott Free. They mentioned two games that I should have led with, and I totally forgot. And I would love to see these games return. Crazy Loop Gaming, SOCOM would be dope to see if that come back. I don't know if it's ever going to come back. It should. It absolutely should. And Siphon Filter, holy crap! How long have we gone without a Splinter Cell game? Like an entire generation. Mm-hmm. Sony could strike while the iron's hot and remake the original, just relaunch the series. And Siphon Filter was pretty dope back in the days. That would be great. But let me ask you, Crazy Lou. Now that we have it on confirmation from multiple sources, certainly not just one, that it appears that Metal Gear Solid 3 the remake is not a PlayStation 5 exclusive. What are your thoughts on that, man?
Man, I'm super happy about that news because really, I was like, oh, now we got to get this game on this console. It's going to be a PS5 exclusive. And man, I was like, oh, no. Because really, I'm a fuzzy. I'm tired of all this, you know, time exclusives or only exclusive over there. I'm tired of all that stuff. I mean, I understand it brings, you know, people to go buy your console, which, okay, I understand that. But it gets to a point where it just gets a little bit of annoying. I mean, I'm really happy that that game is coming out everywhere. It's going to do pretty good because, by the way, I think it's Virtuals. That's the developing company that's remaking this game. They were the ones who they brought in Batman Return to Arkham to the Xbox One Series, and they did a pretty good job. So that was one of the things that had me worried. You know, I was like, is Konami going to work on this? Because we know what happened after Kojima left, right? We got that Metal Gear Survivor, which was
terrible.
It was terrible.
They actually had DLC that gave you a save slot. Like, oh, man, too gross.
Oh, man. Seriously, I was like, I hope that Konami isn't the one that's going to pick this up and remake this, because that was one of the things that had me worried, too, because I said, no, please don't. And also, another thing that has me worried, hey, are we going to get David Hayter back, you know, to do the voice? Because if they don't, it's not going to be a remake for me. I'm sorry, but I love David Hayter voicing Solid Snake. That's the truth. Yeah. But either way, though, super happy, super stoked, super psyched that this game is coming out everywhere. And I don't know, because we have to wait till the PlayStation Showcase. They probably might get like an exclusive thing, let's say a skin or something. I don't know. They probably will have something under their sleeves, but let's wait and see on their showcases, see what they bring in.
Yeah, well, this is something that's, again, when you talk about Xbox, you got to talk about PlayStation. When you talk about PlayStation, you got to talk about Xbox. Well, folks, I got breaking news once again. J-Rock in the Xbox community has just reported, actually tweeted something that comes the way of Bloomberg.com. More bad news for Sony, folks. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic game paused. The development has been paused indefinitely, and apparently the game is in serious trouble. According this is coming the way of Bloomberg. It was it was written by Jason Schreier the Rat. FYI, this again, I don't have access to it because I'm not paying Bloomberg to read this turd stuff, so I'm going to give you the headline, and it says Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic game paused amid studio shakeup. So apparently it's not going well over there, and the development of the game has been indefinitely paused. According to the article, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake of 2003's role-playing game is delayed indefinitely as developers Austin... Texas-based Aspyr Media are trying to figure out what comes next. Aspyr also abruptly fired the game's art director and design director this month. In a series of meetings throughout July, Aspyr's two studio heads told employees that the project is on pause and that the company will look for new contracts and development opportunities, said people who were not authorized to speak publicly about the situation. Again, that comes the way of Bloomberg.com. So more poor news for PlayStation. Maybe this game was going to be a part of their year of dreams. And because of the report, I would imagine that if it was, it's no longer going to be a part of Wednesday's show. Well, there's that. So finally, we get some information. And it's not, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I don't know if you ever played Knights of the Old Republic 1. I did. I beat it twice. It's amazing. It was an Xbox exclusive. I know me personally, I gave Phil Spencer and Microsoft a lot of S letting this slip to Sony. Apparently, the head of Microsoft Gaming knows a heck of a lot more than Mr. Boomstick XL, because obviously he was right to pass on this, because obviously the development, it's in development hell. And who's to know if this game even comes out in the next 3 years? Because whatever they were making, they fired directors of the game. It's not going good. Well, something just crossed my desk, and again, it's in regards to the gamers lawsuit. This is pretty interesting stuff here, folks. And I know that people are getting tired of ABK. I'm not. And I say that because, one, I've said this before, as an Xbox first dude who loves Game Pass, my subscription service that I pay monthly for is going to go up 1,000% once this deal is done. And secondly, again, selfish folks, I might eventually, before I'm unable to hold a controller because I'm 97 years old, I might get Banjo-Kazooie by Toys for Bob. So there's that. According to GameRant.com, it was just put into my DM by Keo Walker. Shout out to you, Keo. Says this, Microsoft is now free to close the Activision Blizzard acquisition with caveats. And obviously the caveats that they're talking about is the fact that the FTC is sued to block, which we know that they don't have the injunction because they were waiting. And obviously the CMA and those bunch of knuckleheads over there, whether corruption's a part of that, which I think it is, and I said this privately and I'll say it publicly, I find it very, very suspicious that the CMA would lost on console SLC, then used cloud. It's a joke. So either someone got to them and there's corruption, or they honestly don't know what they're doing at the CMA. Either or, Microsoft has a fight there. And me being that Parliament is now involved and the Prime Minister and the Secretary of State, I think that cooler heads will eventually prevail and they'll have to bend the knee once again because they did get the numbers wrong originally on the console SLC. They got them even worse. The numbers that they did for cloud were even worse. So they don't know what they're doing over there. I say all of that to say, folks, according to the report, now that the gamers lawsuit, which we're going to get into, that has been it's closed. It's done. They lost. Sony put the money into this lawsuit and it was for nothing because ultimately they lost. Well, it now, as the report here in front of me says, Microsoft is free to close the Activision Blizzard acquisition as of May 22nd with some notable caveats that will likely prevent it from actually attempting to do so for a while. So, you know, I disagree with that. This landmark date for the company's effort to purchase the Call of Duty maker arrives shortly after Microsoft's Activision Blizzard acquisition won approval from China last week. Prior to the Beijing's clearance, the $68.7 billion deal had already been given the nod by Saudi Arabia, Brazil, Serbia, Chile, Japan, South Africa, Ukraine, and the EU, among several other countries. And while the proposed consolidation is still being probed by Australia and New Zealand, its biggest remaining regulatory challenges lie elsewhere. One of them originates from its own home country with the FTC, who sued to block at the acquisition in December. And the reason why May 22nd is a very important date, which of course is today, is Microsoft had promised the FTC judge, as well as, of course, the judge overseeing the gamers lawsuit, that they would not close before May 22nd. Now, things have changed now that the lawsuit has been thrown out for the gamers lawsuit, which, again, we knew was garbage. And now what they could do is they could obviously attempt to close and force Lena Khan and the FTC to file an injunction. And what's interesting and what was brought to my attention by Everborn Saga is the judge overseeing the gamers lawsuit was, in fact, a federal judge who denied the injunction to block the deal. The question that now we have to answer is whether or not a new federal judge would also do the same thing, or would it get past the administrative judge in the FTC who might throw it out altogether? Because quite frankly, the FTC doesn't have a case here. They did everything that was filed for the gamers lawsuit mirrored Lena Khan and the FTC's argument over this deal. If one federal judge threw it out, I would imagine that a new federal judge would see the exact same thing and throw it out. But before we get into that story, I do got to catch up on the Super Chats. There's been quite a few of them. And the first one of the day comes the way of Dan the Man Cunningham says, drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, greetings, Boom and crew. Had to show my support before wife pulls me back into the cruise. Well, listen, thanks so much for being here, brother. And go enjoy your vacation with your wife. He says, I'll be listening no matter what. Love you guys. And we love you too, Dan. Thank you for taking the time out of your vacation with your family to come and hang out with us. Brett Bingham drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, I only heard my Metal Gear Solid is multi-platform. That doesn't mean it's coming to Xbox. If you look at the SE's labeling for multi-platform, 100% Xbox, 100% sure. Well, according to, I mean, I have the story in front of me. According to Tom Henderson, it is a multi-plat in the forms that it's coming to the Xbox Series X and S, Steam, and PlayStation at the same time. So I guess we have to go with that until we're proven wrong. And, you know, I'm assuming we'll know after Wednesday. Drawn TJ drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, hey guys, pull out of cloud of CMA and pay the fines. I don't know if it's that simple, but look, if Microsoft closes over the CMA, there is going to be a fine, right? Now, the question is, how is that fine regulated? Well, the fine is regulated by the government, not by the CMA, and it could be negotiated. So you have to ask, I would imagine Microsoft, their lawyers are asking this question. If they fail at the deal for ABK, they have to pay $3 billion. Is the fine going to be $100 million, $300 million, $500 million? Is it going to be more than $3 billion? The answer is no, it's not going to be. So Do you give up? First of all, I'm going to say this. I know that on Saturday, Gaz and his crew had an amazing conversation, and they all live in the UK, and they feel like Microsoft, there's no way Microsoft can close if the UK says no. And I'm here to tell you that that's their opinion. That's not mine. And I think that they're wrong. There's no way a $70 billion deal is approved by 18 regions and not by the UK, and Microsoft takes their ball and goes takes their ball off the court and goes home. That's not going to happen. I think that there are ways around that, and I don't think that the UK has that much influence where they can literally stand on their wrong judgment and allow for everyone else to say yes except for them, and it's their way. I don't think that's going to happen. I understand that those guys are experts and they do this for a living, but I'm here to tell you that the ABK situation is unique in every possible way. There's nothing regular as the norm in this deal. And that is why the Prime Minister is involved. That is why the Secretary of State is involved. And that is why Parliament called the CMA to the carpet. So we'll see how it plays out, but I don't think it's going to get held up because the UK says no. I think that's ridiculous to even suggest it because it's just one region. And I think that the UK needs Microsoft a heck of a lot more than Microsoft needs the UK. I'll say that. Dude, Jimbo Jangles, for the love of Joe, you're going to live for a million years. I was just looking for you, brother. DM me. I sent you. First of all, Jimbo is amazing. Not only did he make me a G.I. Joe controller, but recently he just sent me, and I hate taking gifts. I'd rather give them than take them. He sent me a copy of the graphic novel, The Ronin, for the Ninja Turtles, and it's amazing. Dude, I've been trying to get in touch with you. I can't find you on Twitter. DM me, please. He drops a very generous $20 super chat and says, starting off my week with Boom and crew, there's two awesome showcases coming up, and my Denver Nuggets are looking strong to make the finals for the first time in history. So much to look forward to. Let's go, brother. I was worried about you. I swear to you, I mentioned you to my wife this morning because I'm trying to find this Jimbo Jangles dude, and I can't find him anywhere. So I'm glad that you're okay, and thank you for the generosity. Seriously, DM me so I can at least say thank you properly. Jacob Novick drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, hi, all theory. I think if Phil said to Konami, we know it was meant to be an exclusive at first, but we wanted to, here's some cash. I'll say this. I think that we're coming up on a point for Sony where their own They have a lot of consoles. There are a lot of PlayStation 5s out there, and they're selling like hotcakes. Let's not make a mistake. But there's something to be said about the average PlayStation user, right? They buy 2Ks, they buy the WWE stuff, they buy the UFC, they buy the FIFAs, the Maddens, the Call of Duties. Maybe they buy a Spider-Man. These money-hatted deals are not starting to work out for them when they do when they're with the money that they're spending and the money coming back to the companies that they're money-hatting. Their own players are not buying enough of them. So if you are someone like Konami who needs money, I don't know if the bag is going to be that big from Microsoft. From Sony, to be honest with you, I think they'd want to sell their games everywhere to maximize profit. But, you know, I'm a podcaster, folks. What do I know? Travis LaRoche, I believe it is. I'm pronouncing your name wrong. I apologize, Travis. He drops a very generous $5 super chat and simply says, "You rock, boom." Well, that's very kind of you to say, brother. Thank you for the generosity, and I apologize for butchering your name. Definitely appreciate you being here. Jacob Novick drops a $2 super chat and says, "Or ask Jim, we pay you whatever you want for it." Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Look, Tony knows what they're doing, man. We heard a couple of years ago, I think maybe 2 years ago, guys, where Sony had reached out to like 85% of the market trying to get these deals locked up. And it sounds like it's true. Is somebody clicking? If you're going to, I keep hearing the clicking. Yeah. Is that okay? I thought that was me. I thought it was no, don't sweat it, Fuzzy. It's fine. Nintendon, the otaku, drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, "Half the show will be VR2 games and the other half will be remakes. Then you throw Spider-Man 2 at the top and that's what you got." I half of the show VR? Fuzzy, you like VR. I like VR. Half of the show, I don't know, man. If the show was an hour, let's say, for instance, they said a little over an hour. It's an hour and 10. Let's say it's 70 minutes. I can see even 15 minutes might be too much. I can see maybe 15 minutes of VR. They show a couple of games. I don't think they're going to spend a lot of time on it. I think that'd be a waste. Spider-Man 2 is going to get a nice chunk, and I'm glad for that because I cannot wait for that. It has Venom in it, for crying out loud. What's not to like? Maybe we get Hobgoblin. We know that Kraven the Hunter is going to be there. Maybe we get Lizard. Maybe we get a bunch of other villains that were not in the 2018 Spider-Man. Who the heck knows? But there's a lot. I don't think we get Carnage yet, but we're definitely getting Venom, which is dope. I don't know. I think you're going to get 20 something minutes of third party stuff. I think you're going to get a nice chunk of Spider-Man. We might get a Wolverine reveal of some sort, which would be kind of dope. I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to get 15 minutes of VR. Maybe we get a factions block that they show off, because factions is going to be dope. Like, I wasn't the biggest factions player, but I know a lot of people were, and they're looking forward to that. And listen, Naughty Dog, really, they don't miss. So, I mean, I know that the Last of Us remake on PC wasn't good, but I'm talking about for the PlayStation, it should be perfectly fine. That's interesting. Sir X-Men drops a very generous $5 super chat. Actually, $2 super chat, and says, "Xbox should get Onimusha Warlords 3 from Capcom." I hope Capcom is remaking Onimusha, because why the H not? Drawn TJ, you said I missed one at the beginning of the show. I think I got yours at the beginning of the show. Maybe I didn't. Let me.
You just hadn't started them yet, is what it was. You just you hadn't read them yet. You got a little impatient, I believe.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. So, hi guys. Pull out of cloud. Was that what the one? Pull out of cloud of the CMA and pay the fines. Is that the one, Dave?
Whatever the first one was you dropped was, because I don't remember one before that.
Okay,
I'm gonna see if before we went live.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Maybe before I went live. Okay. So, I will have to.
If give you did, me a I second. Didn't see that one.
Yeah. No, you didn't. I didn't even see that one. So hold on just a second. Let me just pull that real quick. Give me 30 seconds, folks, because I don't like missing the super chats. Because obviously we're not owed anything on this channel, at all.
The only one I see is the hi guys, pull out of CMA and pay the fines.
Yeah, that's the only one I got here. That's it. Okay, all right.
Maybe well, just listen, got a little excited.
No, that's fine. we love Jerome TJ. He's very generous, so we want to make sure we get it right.
Yes.
So, all right. So that's this. Let's get into.
There's one more. There's one left.
Okay, let me see. Oh, Sir X-Men.
Yep, that's the last one.
Okay, yeah, I got that one. Yeah, I got it. So
you get that? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's all right. So let's get back to the topic at hand. Obviously, the deal with the gamers lawsuit, it's thrown out. They lost the injunction. Microsoft could move forward. Dave, let's get your hot take on this, because obviously you're our money guy. You were one of the few people. Not a few people, but you were one of the steadfast Xbox gamers that were like, no, the deal is going through. Now that this 22nd has passed, we're here. Yep. The gamers lawsuit is thrown out. Microsoft is free to move forward. Now, obviously, they're still waiting on New Zealand. They're still waiting on Australia. Those are pretty big regions. Not part of the Big Four. Three of the Big Four have, two out of the four has given Microsoft their blessing. The FTC, I believe, they can beat in their sleep, because the FTC's case is extremely weak and poor at best. The CMA, yep. I think there's conversations going on right now between government, because obviously there is something to be said about Britain or the UK being closed for business. I think the world is watching what the CMA does here. And I think, I just look at the numbers, folks. CMA is wrong again. Now, I'm not saying that they should bend the knee. I'm saying they need to go back and fix the mistake that they made and figure out a way that them saying, okay, we're going to pass, doesn't look like they're a bunch of boobs, because ultimately that's what's going to happen. They were wrong for the console SLC, and they're wrong again. So, Dave, does Microsoft show the world their fangs by saying, okay, we're going to close? Now that we the one hang up, the gamers lawsuit thrown out, Lena Khan doesn't have a leg to stand on, and we can deal with the CMA. Do they close over the two big ones?
Here's what I think is going to happen: that they will wait another couple of weeks. Because there's some, you know, there's some things in place, you know, that are kind of falling into place. Give them a little, I guess, a little more rope to hang themselves with the CMA. And then the other two are supposed to close within June.
So I believe that Australia and New Zealand, I think,
even though they're not big ones, in other words. It really wouldn't hamper them to not, you know, but still, it's respectful to let those finish out. And those will technically be it as far as everybody we need to hear from. And then once that's done, then they'll be able to, you know, and I believe that they will definitely push forward and just go ahead and do it in the U.S. regardless. It's a matter of, I'm sure behind closed doors, they're sitting down with Satya and the lawyers and the teams and experts and everybody saying, okay, so if we do close over the CMA, what's that going to happen? What's it going to do? You know, Luke Steele was talking about they can fine them. I don't know if that's a annual fine, monthly fine.
No, it's a one-time fine. It's 5%
one-time fine. That would be, and it could be up to 5%, which means it's like it could be $5 billion on its own. But then again, Microsoft could say, cool, let's pay that and be done with it. And then in the end, they're still going to make a crap ton of money, because they still have the $90 billion. I don't know they will. But if they do breach it and they get fined, that means I believe that they're still able to actually do business like they want.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just you know, it gets done. That's to me would be the nuclear option. Mm-hmm. You know, but I still think they're going to take another couple of weeks and kind of see how this plays out. I don't think they're going to just, you know, I don't think they're going to pull this and pull that. But the options are, they might be able to, you know, pull out the cloud gaming from in the UK only, pull out cloud gaming from Game Pass and or their services and see what happens. See where the chips fall from there. But still, you know, that they have the one final commission still has, I think, 2 or 3 days to get back to them as far as whether they want to kick it back to the CMA. Now, the CMA, once it gets kicked back to them, could still be like, no, we're right. You guys are wrong. Boom. And then it's all bets are off and Microsoft can try and do whatever, quote unquote, nuclear option or whatever. Then I just know for sure that they are not going to walk away from this deal. They're right. going to stick it out. And I don't think it's going to be, a lot of people are saying, well, it's going to be years and years and years. It's not. It's going to be in the next couple of months. This is all going to be figured out. Whether it's they pay the fine and they go ahead that way, or they, you know, or the CMA has a come to Jesus moment and decides to, you know, now that we've relooked at it again, let's go ahead and, you know, do this. Because, you know, Parliament is, I don't want to say this the nice way, but they are up their ass to get this right, you know.
And yeah, yep.
Can I jump in real quick? Because sure. let me tell you something, Mr. Dave. I mean, let's say this. Let's say the CMA actually wins the appeal, yet Parliament does not agree with what the CMA is saying. I mean, they can jump in and overrule after that. They can jump in if it's going to affect their national security and their financial security, right? And they feel like this is wrong. They can actually jump right in there and say, hey, we got to turn this over. I think they can do that. Was something I read. I don't know. I could be confused, but I read this that they can actually jump in it.
And Luke Steele was Luke Steele really believes that even though there is some kind of, and I'm not trying to speak for Luke. I did watch the Game On Daily show, which was really a good one. That he still gives even though he's hard fast, he was still saying he believes it's 30% that it's going to go through. And for him to say that 30% is actually, to me, is like, that's an open window. So, you know, you just never. And that's the biggest thing he was saying, is that a lot of this stuff is unprecedented. It's never gotten to this point before.
Yep.
So, but Microsoft is not a company that usually backs down when they feel like they have the good fight. And in this, they really do have the good fight. And they have the finances, the resources, and the professional team of lawyers in their court to really, you know, all angles and everything they need to do. You know, I think they can get this done legally one way or another, whether it's, you know, take the fine and keep going or whatever. And then after that, it's, you know, let's have that roundtable meeting with Phil and find out from the board members who's next. So that's it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. I think they're going to be very quiet because it's going to take a long time to integrate ABK once it's done. I would imagine that maybe some smaller acquisitions might be, but I think they're going to stay away from the A word for quite a bit once this deal is done, because everyone is going to be so tired of it. So.
I don't think there'll be anybody that big exhausted for a while, but you're talking like a Sega or a Square, which a lot of people don't want, but those are financially affordable without regulatory scrutiny. So those are possible deals. Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. You never know. Like I said, I'd like to get past this one first. And in regards to the fine, it's 5% of their total earnings. Now, what's interesting with that, and I'd have to have this clarified by someone that actually knows, is that Microsoft's earnings or is that Xbox earnings?
Yes, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's Microsoft's.
It's Microsoft's
as a corporation, earnings. Correct.
So yeah, so I pulled up exactly what July 18th is. Now, July 18th, if you didn't know, folks, is when the deal is the deal would be kaput. And according to Reuters, the Microsoft-Activision-Blizzard merger agreement expires on July 18th, though an agreement can be extended. Activision Blizzard could walk away with the $3 billion breakup fee. And I think that they're going to move forward to close before that happens, because I don't think that there's no reason to extend it. They would force Lena Khan's hand to file an injunction, which would probably get denied. And she, I don't understand why she's not going to just take the photo op moment and just like, hey, listen, we took the EU concessions and we're satisfied. But no, she's stubborn, and her stubbornness is going to be her downfall for sure. But I mean, that's that. Fuzzy Belvedere, let's get your hot take on this, brother. Obviously, the gamers lawsuit, the injunction was denied, which makes sense, right? We all kind of figured it would be. Everborn Saga actually just put something into the chat, so I want to clarify it, because obviously I don't like getting anything wrong here. He tells says that the judge will decide this week whether to dismiss the case once and for all, but Microsoft is made the promise that they wouldn't close before May 22nd. Today's May 22nd, and technically they could try and close tomorrow if they wanted to, because they kept their promise. But I mean, what are your thoughts so much on the gamers lawsuit? Remember, this was funded by Sony. Mm-hmm. Sony provided all kinds of information, and it kind of backfired in Sony's face. I think that if there was anything and any potential bridge left between Microsoft and Sony, this was the one of the last straws that broke the camel's back. I don't think there's a relationship with Sony, Jim Ryan, and Phil Spencer's Xbox any further moving forward.
Well, I think the big thing to take away from the lawsuit getting pretty much declined not entirely thrown out, but for the most part thrown out. I think it goes to show that a lot of the people that were tweeting Biden and a lot of other senators and the FTC and all kind of wasted their breath and time for the most part. This deal has always been, it's never been a detriment to PlayStation, primarily because the game is still going to be readily available. And it's great to see that our judicial system kind of saw the same thing. It was kind of like a frivolous lawsuit for the most part, more of a stall tactic, if anything. Hopefully Sony learned from this. Maybe some of that money that was put into this, it was probably only a few mil, could have been, better spent elsewhere type of deal. But I'm one of those that hopes that they do close the deal at least before or right around June 11th. I know that's a tall order, and they're going to, cooler heads are going to probably prevail, and they're going to probably wait it out, like Dave said, and wait to see, let some things play out, like Satya said, as far as within the CMA and the UK itself. So they go and close it on top a little early before the ball gets rolling. They may have had a favorable process in the works, and that might be taken as a negative sign, like a slap in the face. So hopefully everything processes through. But if it looks like there's still going to be the hangup of CMA and, let's say, Parliament or the UK government officials aren't comfortable in overruling the CMA, then sorry for those that have Game Pass Ultimate and were using xCloud in that region before, because I think the gains versus the losses that Microsoft stands from this merger are going to outweigh maybe some of the bad blood that will be in that region for some time. It's already a region where they're not as successful as PlayStation, primarily because of how aggressive PlayStation's been in that region. But it would hopefully turn the tide where maybe the player base in that region will be more against their government or their regulators as opposed to Xbox and Microsoft themselves. But glad to see that the frivolous lawsuit is kind of thrown out, or at least the injunction was canceled. Hopefully from here, FTC, maybe there's somebody willing to come to the table it doesn't appear Lena is that person. I don't know if they need to make an administrative change beforehand, but it would just seem from the consumer standpoint, it'd be best if they just save face to come to the table, because you can always say that you fought against, you know, big tech and still came to the table and got something to show for it that would benefit your consumers that you're supposed to be sworn to protect. So we'll see what else comes about between now and July 18th. But I'm pretty confident that this gets closed before July 18th. Even though they're both parties are probably willing to renegotiate, I think they can see the finish line, you know, is within reach, and they're going to make some moves to make things happen before that July 18th timeframe. Because what better way to, I mean, it's better to pay the $3 billion into something more useful as opposed to paying yourself kind of in what will be an eventual merger. But that's all I got on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, makes great points. The Lazy Otaku says, I have a theory that this was part of Bobby's plan the entire time. Company is tanking money-wise. He never intended for the deal to pass, and the $3 billion would save him and ABK. Nah, dude, that's not, in fact, the case at all. $3 billion is nice, but $70 billion, I think it's a lot nicer, and their board members want that $70 billion. You know, listen, it's probably gonna be even a little bit more after that. They intended to sell because Call of Duty is expensive, folks, and they only put out really one game per year, and it takes 8 studios. That's a lot of development dollars to get it right. So I think they intended to sell. They still intend to sell. And the board members on Activision want that $70 billion as opposed to $3 billion. Even though $3 billion is a lot of money, I only have $2.6 billion in the bank, so what do I know? But with that said, let's get Crazy Lou's take on this. It seems like Sony's dreams of getting this deal blocked with their BS is coming to an end. The gamers' lawsuit was a joke from the beginning. The injunction has been denied. Later this week, it will be thrown out officially. And they could never file again. That's it. Once it's done, it's done. There's no refiling a second time. We know that the 22nd was the cross the line date for Microsoft. Do you see them closing over the FTC and the CMA in the coming days?
Ooh, do I see them do that? It all depends on how everything goes, because like I said, it depends. I mean, we have so many days left. I mean, and look what has happened in the last couple of weeks. I mean, I bet you all the money in the world the CMA was counting for the EU to, you know, to join their side and say, hey, we're going to block this deal. I bet you they were counting on that. But as soon as we saw the EU Commission say yes, oh, man, the next day we saw Parliament jump in and Parliament started to ask questions, you know, regarding what's going on with this. And earlier, was it like a month ago, 2 months ago, we had the American government sit down with the FTC. They were actually sitting down with them, talking with them, saying, hey, what's going on with this? What's happening with this? And what's going on with that? And if will they close it sooner or later? I mean, I'm 50-50 still on this. I mean, no matter how many countries approve, I'm still 50-50. I do not know until the date comes if they're actually going to say, hey, we're going to close. That's it. We're going through it. Because like they say, they could get fined if they decide to close over the CMA decision. And a bunch of stuff can happen. I mean, literally, there's so many, because the thing is about this deal that people seem to not understand is that Microsoft has got so many options and so many things that they can go to in order to get this deal through. But we just have to wait till the day comes by and the day, you know, till we get to that date to see what happens. We have to wait till that is it June or July? Is it July, right? July 18th, right?
July 18th. Yep.
Yeah, we have to wait till that July 18th to see if that deal is going to close, to see if that deal is going to go through in order for us to be happy. Or if not, we have to see if they're going to deal an extension. But yeah, like I said, I'm 50-50 because there's like so many days left. I mean, I know everybody's putting a lot of pressure against the CMA and the FTC. It's incredible. I mean, not only that, they also got China approved me with no concessions. China said, yes, all the way. We have a good relationship with Microsoft. Why the hell not? Let's give them that goal. Let's give them that thing. They will deserve it. So, yes, let's see what happens. The appeal is when? Is next month on the 7th, right? June 7th is the appeal date, right?
the appeal date.
Yeah, isn't there like a date for the appeal, for the CMA's appeal?
I think the Microsoft had to file their appeal before a certain date. I think it was within 2 weeks of them blocking it. I don't know if they filed as of yet. I'd have to look to see if they filed.
I believe they have.
They have already. Okay, there you go.
I believe they had to. I mean, and there's like a day for that appeal to be approved, right? Isn't that the? I think it's. I could be wrong. I think I read wrong through the lines.
I'd have to look it up to see. You're talking about whether or not they have enough for an appeal for it to go to CAT.
Yes, I think so.
No, I believe CAT's under advising it now. They're looking at it now. So.
Oh, looking at it now. Okay.
Yeah. So. Cat's, Cat will make their decision whether to kick it back. So it just, that's due in, I believe, a short while. So we'll see.
All right. We'll see. Yeah. We have, like I said, so many things going on through these days until July 18th. There's a lot to go through. So let's see what happens. I'm, like I said, I'm 50-50 on this deal. I wish I was like a little bit more positive on it, but hey, this whole regulatory thing is such a complex topic. I mean, we have to grab what we can learn, read through it and understand what's going on. But it's insane on how many options Microsoft can have in order to win this before July 18th. So let's see what happens till that day. Cross fingers, guys.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I still think the deal is going to go through. I really do. I think they have too many approvals for it. Yeah, they have too many approvals, most of which didn't have any concessions at all. And the cloud issue that the CMA has proposed was not only, I mean, the EU has taken many shots specifically at the CMA for this poor decision, and rightfully so. And if you look at one of the big quotes from the EU Commission passing, is they had confirmed that this deal made cloud a better place to be and more lucrative when with the concession. So again, it's still shocking to me that this deal would be hung up by the CMA. But again, you can call it corruption, you can call it ignorance, them not knowing the market, whatever you want to call it. But they got the numbers wrong again, and I think CAT will see that. But look,
it's kind of weird. I mean, it's like since the beginning they were looking for that butt. I mean, that's how I felt.
A lot of people suggested they didn't want to push it through. And as a matter of fact, someone actually just DM'd me. Let me see if I could find it for a second because it was pretty interesting. Hold.
It's like I said, they kept looking for that butt, and I remember like a couple months ago they literally said that they cannot develop a game into the Nintendo Switch. I was like, what? I mean, seriously, they literally said that they cannot say what. I mean, like I said, they're looking for the butts,
right?
Yeah. Someone I can't find the DM. Someone just DM'd me saying that something about the CMA that the EU took a shot at them publicly regarding this particular deal, but didn't specifically mention ABK. I don't have it in front of me. I got 1,000 DMs open, so I have to look for it, and we'll talk about it another time. But before we get on out of here, because we're coming on, this show is usually 90 minutes, I do have a particular topic that I want to talk about because it's been making the rounds, and I'm interested to get the chat's hot take on this. Cliffy B, I think everyone knows who Cliffy B is, one of the key designers of the Gears of War franchise. Well, he is back in the news again, ladies and gentlemen. Not for Gears, though. I'm not sure if you follow him on Twitter. I do. He was actually on ILP, the Iron Lords podcast, about a month ago. And what's interesting is he wants to bring back Lawbreakers. And that discussion of missing the mark with Xbox and Xbox gamers, where we know who Cliffy B is. He kind of, he still regrets launching it on the PlayStation. Now, obviously, if you don't know what Lawbreakers is, Lawbreakers was a multiplayer game that was created by Cliffy B and his team. And it came out, and I played it. I played it on the PlayStation. It's actually pretty good. But it didn't have enough player base, didn't have enough, support from Sony, which Not a surprise there, folks. Their players, they don't usually like multiplayer games if it's not Call of Duty, Apex Legends, or Fortnite. But it came out, and he had to close the studio, and the game has been sitting on the shelf ever since. And this is what Cliff had to say. He goes, he says this, folks, an update on Lawbreakers. My friend who has his own studio and is interested in the revival of Lawbreakers has my lawyer on retainer to negotiate with Nexon for the IP. Obviously, listen, it's going to come out. I don't know if he does, if in fact he does release Lawbreakers again and revises it, because it's going to need a revision for sure. But whoever his friend is has a studio that's willing to spend the money to try and get the the IP from Nexon, who owns it. And apparently it's the same lawyer that Cliffy B has on retainer. They have on retainer as well. Is anybody in the chat? We have almost 800 people here. First of all, thank you so much for making this show a success, because that's crazy to have this many people on a Monday afternoon. If you're new, if you're finding the channel for the first time, why don't you help me help you help me get to 13K? Because that's what Mrs. Boom and I are working on. And we're still very far away. We're like in the 700s away. But, I mean, you know, 680, give or take. We're a little under 700 away. We're not going to get that today. So that's fine. But if you're interested in subscribing to the channel, I do the live content Monday through Friday, 5 different panels. All great news. Never, never hate is used to sell the brand or ask for your like or your sub or your click. It's just fun conversation. And if you like this kind of conversation, please consider subscribing. Dave, let's bring you in on the Cliffy B news. He wants to bring back Lawbreakers. He admits that he missed the mark not releasing this on PlayStation. His theory, his thought was sound. He said, I'm going to go where the player base is. The player base was the PlayStation 4. Turns out the PlayStation gamers didn't care about Lawbreakers. And, well, you know, that such is life. But he's looking to bring it back. There's been some talk about it. He wants to bring it back. He has his friend that owns a studio that wants to bring it back. We know that he is talking with Xbox to bring it back. Do you want to see Lawbreakers get a revival?
Yes. I think it would be great for Game Pass. That would be awesome. Good place to put it. You know, get in there where you have a huge player base that would jump in and play it. And Cliffy gets some money up front from Microsoft to work on other projects or to do another musical with Britney. Who knows? But yeah, I actually really think that it'd be great for Game Pass. I mean, you know, Cliffy's work speaks for itself. You know, I mean, look at the Gears franchise. You know, he started it all, and it was, you know, out of his crazy head. And man, it looks amazing. So, and like you said, you played the PlayStation version, solid game, but with a player base built in. To Game Pass, I think that would definitely be the way to go to get it on Game Pass and get it out there. Plus, you know, you can play a PC, you know, you can play it a lot more places than just the PlayStation ecosystem. So it would be a win-win for him. I hope he gets it done. I hope they work out a deal and get it going, because it's another game, a Cliffy game for us to enjoy. That's awesome. It's a win-win for us.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Boneslave in the chat. He's always here in the chat as well. He said, I did enjoy Lawbreakers. Now, you know, granted, it wasn't my favorite multiplayer game of all time, but I quite enjoyed it. Sorry that you didn't, but maybe a revival. And you said you mentioned Game Pass, and I think that's an outlier, Dave. That's a phenomenal thought. Fuzzy, you know, Dave mentions Game Pass. Now, this could go the free-to-play route, right? Yeah. It could go to free-to-play, and it would make it a games as a service, you know, like Halo, like Fortnite, like Apex Legends. going up against a free-to-play type of situation in this market is tough. Lawbreakers would have to do some really special things. I like the Game Pass angle because what it does, and I think Dave mentioned this, it's instant access to 30 million people. Now, of course, not everyone is going to download the game, but if it's a part of your subscription service, there really isn't a there isn't a threat to wait, you know, lose your money. Like, oh, I'm going to buy this game. Oh, it sucks. And now I'm stuck with this packaged game. They launch it into Game Pass, and this is a win-win for everybody, right? Cliffy B or the new studio that's going to take on this game gets a big bag of money from Microsoft. Microsoft puts it into Xbox Game Pass, and we, as subscribers, we get to play Cliffy B's game that was originally exclusive. Maybe they do some their due diligence to add some new elements to the development of this game, and it's Lawbreakers, but not exactly Lawbreakers when it releases. I think what Dave is putting down is pretty good. What do you think, Fuzzy?
Well, with Game Pass, you also have like Game Pass perks. So if there's any like charms or cosmetics or things like that, weapon skins, some of that can help with the engagement. Like you said, there's the potential of 30 million players having access to it. Have something with perks as well. People are going to at least download it to try it, to at least, you know, load the gun skin or weapon skin or something like that for, you know, playing it against friends for a couple of hours type of deal. So that I'm pretty sure enough people will probably get hooked on the game that it'll thrive from thereafter, as long as they can, you know, keep on coming up with like cosmetic content or maybe even like different maps, seasons and things along those lines. Like a lot of the models that seem to work today, it would definitely make it easier for them to add to the longevity of the game. I think one of the things I would like to see with some of these, if it does go like the free to play route, it's kind of like what Fortnite has done with skins from other games or other.
You literally took the words right out of my mouth. They could use game skins of Xbox characters, a Marcus Fenix, a Dom. They could use a Master Chief. They could an armor from, you know, the Doom guy. They could do an armor from Fallout. There's a lot and make them money, make people buy the outfits, which would, of course, make it a gas game.
Yeah. And I think that's probably his best approach. And hopefully enough attention and enough revenue is generated from this game that, you know, maybe his other project, which I keep on, I'm probably the only one that keeps on retweeting it, but maybe his Dragonfly concept gets greenlit over at Xbox or something afterwards. But yeah, I think it's a great idea for him to try to revive this game. Hopefully they go with like either a free-to-play or some sort of seasonal route where the monetization aspect is easier for them and not such a steep, you know, expense on the player side. And putting it in Game Pass, easy access to a ton of gamers that, you know, have already played a lot of different, you know, first and third person shooters, some arena shooters and things like that. So there's bound to be enough of a player base to keep that thing alive. And then from there, integrate, you know, other Xbox characters or, you know, weapons from other Xbox IPs and things along those lines. And I think he has a hit to, you know, put towards his next game.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? Like, obviously, this game is probably not going to be developed by Cliffy. I think he said something in one of the tweets I was reading from him. Let me see if I could find it over here. He says, "I'd consult. Full-time game design and being a CEO equals over it. Too busy doing other stuff these days." So he would consult on it. Yeah. Someone else would pick up the development changes. So obviously he would it's a friend of his, so he would just consult, which is great. Crazy Lou Gaming, let's get your final take on this. This is again, it's an opportunity. We don't know if it's going to come to fruition. The Nexon has to sell the IP back, but it's a dead IP, and I wouldn't be surprised if Cliffy B would incorporate some money into this investment to get the IP back, then to have his friend's studio, which we don't know what studio this is, bring it back. Where do you kind of feel about the whole guest character thing, because if there's one thing that Fortnite does phenomenally well is everyone that is anyone wants their IP to be in Fortnite. I mean, at any given, you know, bus terminal, as you're waiting to go into the map, you see Star Wars characters, Indiana Jones, you've seen a Predator character in there. You've seen DC, you've seen Marvel, all the biggest, you know, pop culture icons are in Fortnite. And one of the things that I completely complain about, and I've said this before, is Microsoft's unwillingness to use the hundreds of incredible legendary IP that they currently have. And something like Lawbreakers, even though it's not in-house, they could work with the team if the game is going to get a revival and add Xbox characters like the ones I had mentioned. And maybe there's some characters I didn't mention that could make it in there. That would be kind of dope. I mean, you know, you could, let's say, for instance, the ABK deal goes down, you could get a Ghost character as one of the skins. That would be kind of dope. You can get maybe even something as wacky as a Crash Bandicoot outfit. You know what I'm saying? In there. I just think there's potential. Do you want to see the game get a revival?
Oh, yes, I do. I mean, I want to tell you something. Anything new that comes, I'm super happy, super stoked about it. And if it deserves to be revived, it deserves to be revived. But yes, you have to bring it to multiple consoles. You just can't put it like, oh, let me put it right here. Let me just put it right there. No, because this is literally a new IP.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. This is a new especially IP. For this generation.
Especially for this generation, which you have a lot of multiplayer competition. I mean, you got PUBG. You got Fortnite. You got what was the other one? Call of Duty. Oh, you got all these games.
Destro 39 says, what about the Redfall characters? Yes.
Yes.
That would be kind of dope. I'm not gonna front.
Yes, and since you got all this competition, you should just open it up and let everybody grab it, give out their opinions and see how it goes. I mean, see how the game goes. But since you guys locked it down in there, then yeah. And adding all these guests and all these cool guest on characters and all these cool skins and stuff. I mean, I'm all down for that because, hey, I'm a guy who loves Fortnite. And when I jump in there and I see that they have, for example, a Deadpool costume or a Doom costume, any type of costume that I like, man, I'm up in there buying it. I even got the Chavo del Ocho skin, man. I love the Chavo del Ocho. That was something from my youth. If you guys do not know Chavo del Ocho,
dude, like I don't even play Fortnite that often. I do every now and again, and when there's a dope skin, I drop the $20, yeah. Dude. Like I'm just such a nerd.
We all do because we love it. I mean, we love to drop for those skins, and especially we want to have it for ourselves, you know, because we love those characters. And hey, it's why not? It's fun. But yeah, I'm all the way in if they actually do revive it and if they make it interesting and get, you know, some skins to bring in there like Fortnite is doing. I hope they do that. And again, they have to make it multi-platform. They just can't lock it down because we got to get everybody to jump in to see how the game works, how the game feels, and get their opinions out there because that's probably why they failed pretty much. I mean, locking it down just on PlayStation and PC, you know, and lots of multiplayer competition out there, you know, you should have opened it up instead of locking it down. That's my thoughts on that.
Well, again, Cliffy talked about it on ILP. He went for what you would imagine is he went for the money shot. You know, is really what he went for. Obviously, PlayStation was a much bigger platform. I don't think he understood. I don't think that he didn't understand. I think it was overlooked of what the Xbox community would do for a game in regards to support, because he has history with us as gamers, right? Obviously, he was an integral part, one of the main components in the Gears of War series actually launching on the Xbox 360. And, you know, he went where the money was. And unfortunately, I don't know. I don't think he even said at ILP how much money he got from PlayStation. I think that's, you know, it's business. You don't talk about that live on the air.
Yeah.
But look, I know that there's a lot of talk in the chat. Before we get out of here, you know, what is Microsoft's Game Pass? Is 30 million, 35, 40 million? I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think a lot of people who said 35 million, I think that's fair, because if there was one thing, even though Microsoft took some losses for console sales, because they didn't have consoles available because of the chip shortage and because they were, you know, putting resources other way in other places, they did still gain in subscription services. So I don't know what the official number is. Maybe we learn what the official number is at their event coming in a couple of weeks. I think it's closer, to be safe, to be fair, I think it's closer to 35 million subscribers. They obviously want 100 million subscribers. They get Call of Duty as first party, and that's putting the Game Pass. They're going to see numbers that go that high. When you can put games like Diablo 4 in Game Pass, people are going to flock. When you could put WoW in PC Game Pass, which is probably what they're going to do, you're going to see people, and since instead of spending the $15 for WoW right now, that gets incorporated into, and they're like, oh my God, I don't got to pay. I'm Xbox Game Pass. So I think that if they, if the deal goes through, you'll see those numbers jump. But ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for today's Xbox Lunch Break Special. For Web Dave, Fuzzy Belvedere, and Crazy Lou Gaming, I am Mr. Boomstick XL. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be here. We had 800 plus people here. Holy freaking cow. That is crazy. Thank you. Honestly, I hate to say this. A lot of people didn't know, but this is one of the shows I was going to sunset because it wasn't originally hitting. And then, you know, 5 days a week streaming is difficult. I love it. I love the challenge of being able to do it, which is why, you know, we're going to keep doing it. But the show kind of was on rocky ground for a bit. And here we are all these months later, 800 people here to talk about Xbox gaming. So thank you so much for keeping this show afloat. Thank you for all the outstanding super chats that have come in. I cannot thank you enough for the generosity. Let's get to the outros. Web Dave, by all means, you got to 1K. Now we got to get you to 20. Right now, that's the goal. 20K, here we come. Let's go, brother. Sell your brand. But
same with you, buddy.
Well, I'll get there one day. I'm doing the grassroots way. You know, I don't sell hate, so maybe it's going to take a little bit longer, but I'd rather just keep doing it my way. Again, if you're new, please subscribe. But Web Dave, sell your brand, brother. Talk about not only where they can come to subscribe to your channel to keep adding to the amount, where they can find you on social media, but talk about last night's show with Hargeet Chani and, of course, Crispy Bomb. It was awesome.
It was a great show. I enjoyed it thoroughly. We had a great time, and it lit up last night. It's you know, it's one of those things where you don't really know until it kind of happens, and yep. It's exciting for us, and so far getting really good. It's got over 1700 views.
Wow, dude, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I know. So that's it's on a way to breaking a record for us on a single view show. So that's pretty good, and the numbers keep growing too. So again, it really is thanks to you. I know you're very humble about that, but we appreciate everything you do for everybody in the community, and I mean that. All of us here you know, are blessed to be on your show.
Thank you, sir.
It's so much fun, man, to do this, and you know, we don't always get it right, but we try, and you know, we come at it with a good heart, and that's all we can do. And I drop the link down in the in chat, so if you want to click on it and subscribe, I would greatly appreciate that. But we also want to make sure that we get Fuzzy's numbers up too. So
yes.
So Fuzzy really needs to get his numbers up because he's amazing content provider as well.
Yes, he absolutely is, and we're going to get to him right now. Fuzzy Belvedere, brother, listen, you are the place to get anything and everything when it's racing, but you're also there for other conversations. I want people to come to your YouTube channel. I'd like you to drop it into the chat. There's still almost 600 people here. We can get you a couple hundred subs. Folks, if you like Fuzzy's well-thought-out takes, get over there and subscribe to his YouTube channel. We're trying to get him to 1K, like we've done for Web Dave, like we've done for Infinite Umbra and Daniel McGee, like I did all those years ago for the Iron Lord. It still shocks me, folks, that the Iron Lord podcast, King David and Cognito and Addict and the entire crew, they were struggling to get to 1K. Could you imagine that? Like, what is wrong with the world? But thankfully, they crossed 15K. We're trying to get Fuzzy Belvedere to that 1K number. Brother, sell your brand.
Well, just want to thank you guys for having me on here. It's always awesome being on here with you guys. And, man, just love having the interactions with the people in the chat and all those that catch our show live or even catch it on replay. For those that want to hear my rambles or rants or see some of my racing clips and things, just follow me on Twitter at @Fuzzy_Belvedere. You can also find me on YouTube as Fuzzy Belvedere, all one word. And then for those that want to hear some more of my thoughts on different ideas and in gaming, you can also find me on FSP on Fun Speculations channel at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight. And then right here on the Breakfast with Boom on Friday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Look forward to seeing you guys there.
Yep, absolutely. Friday show, I'm not even sure. Obviously, it's Friday. We're only Monday, so I'll get the Friday show eventually. But we have a lot to talk about. There was so much news that broke over the week that we didn't. Planet of Lana, folks, comes out tomorrow, and it's getting really good buzz. We're going to talk about it on tomorrow's Xbox Factor podcast. And here's the thing. See, this is where I nerd out, folks. I don't know if you remember a game called Flashback. It was a side scroller. It's legendary. I am old, so I appreciate Flashback. It is being compared to Flashback-esque. I'm just literally talking with my brother at the same time via chat, and he bought the game. He's like, I don't even care if it's on Game Pass. I support this kind of game. We are huge, huge Flashback fans. If you like the game Flashback, apparently Planet of Lana is a homage to it. So I cannot wait. That's getting good buzz. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. We're going to get Retri, Mr. Game Pass himself, to talk about that, plus a bunch of other topics for tomorrow's show at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But last and no way, at least the crazy one, brother, sell your brand. You know, you and the amazing guys over at the Xbox International podcast hit 1K. Now we got to move you to 2, maybe 3, maybe 15. But we got to get you there, brother. Sell your brand. Tell everyone where they can check you out. You and obviously the amazing crew you have over there. And more importantly, where can people reach out to you on social media?
Well, first things first, Mr. Boomstick, thank you for always having me on here on Mondays, hanging out with you guys. Always a lot of fun here at the Xbox Lunch Break Special. On Tuesdays on the Xbox International Podcast, guys, on Tuesdays on that YouTube channel is where I play scary games so you guys can watch me get scared, try to break the screen. I'm getting close to breaking the screen one day. I hope I don't, but I'm getting closer and closer to that. It all depends on the jump scare, but man, last game, wow, I had two major jump scares. I think I ruined my keyboard gel pad by flinging it too much at the... Oh, man, it was insane. And last but not least, you can find me... Oh, wait, I got to mention two more, actually. You can follow me on Twitter, too, on Crazy Louie Gaming, where I say good morning and do all sorts of crazy stuff on there. And last but not least, the Xbox International Podcast on Wednesday, 7 p.m. ET, with Silent Cypher, The Big Poom, and Sour Blow going on what's going on in the gaming world. That's where you can find the crazy one.
Yeah, and folks, they have such a great crew over there. Sour Blow and the whole crew over there is just amazing. Check out the Xbox International podcast, and now available in Espanol, right?
Yep.
So talk about that for a quick second. Tell the Spanish speaking community where they can find the Xbox International podcast, brother.
Oh, they can find it at the Sour Blow Gaming YouTube channel. I don't know if they actually switched it because Sour Blow is going to call YouTube in order to call the XBI podcast in Espanol, but I don't know what's happening. I hope they change it, though. But
I hope that they do answer you. Sometimes they're the worst, brother. Unless you are like 100,000 subs, you can't even get anybody to even talk with you, which is terrible.
Oh, man. I hope he actually does fix that, but it's over there at the Sour Blow Gaming YouTube channel where you can find, and that's Eternal Shaddai and Ascot Gaming every single week on Fridays at 7 p.m. ET, talking about what's going on with the gaming world also.
Yeah, well, listen, shout out to Johnny Wildburns. I have to go back to work, but I'd rather chill here. Well, you're always welcome here, brother. So listen, you know, get out of work and hang out with us. But ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you had as much fun as we did. lots of smiles, lots of excitement, whether you're a PlayStation fan, Nintendo fan, Xbox fan. For me right now, PlayStation, Xbox, they don't really exist because Zelda. Oh God, I got to be like 40 hours into it. I haven't done this in a long time. Mrs. Boom goes to sleep and I wait for her to sleep and I come out here and I sneak for 2-3 hours. I'm staying up way too late playing Zelda. It's just so good. Even at 720p, it is freaking amazing. But listen, enjoy gaming wherever you enjoy gaming. And of course, thank you so much for supporting Double Barrel Gaming. I'm going to close out the show with something that's important to me. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught me with kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special.